Welcome to the Connected Conversation with Brett Hill, a well-known mindfulness and somatic coach and coach trainer, as he demonstrates the power of mindful communication to change your life, work, and the world. Disconnected is the new normal. People are feeling overdriven, overwhelmed, and disconnected from meaningful conversations. But it doesn't have to be that way. Step into a life that works for you. Flourish and give voice to your natural creativity and purpose as you learn how to connect deeply and authentically with yourself, others, and the world. The Connected Conversation with Brett Hill starts now.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Connected Conversation podcast. My name is Brett Hill. I'm a mindful somatic coach and coach trainer, founder of the Mindful Coach Association, and also another podcast I do called the Mindful Coach Podcast. This particular show, this particular podcast, the Connected Conversation, is really an important work from the heart, you might say, a passion project, because I believe passionately that what people need, what the world needs, what the culture needs, what we all could use is a little more connection in our life. And that's literally the name of the show, The Connected Conversation, how to have connections in ways that serve us, because so much of our lives are spent working and engaging and thinking about and being distracted by and obsessing about and the things in our lives that don't really serve us that well, because our lives are complicated. Oh my God, like we have, particularly, you know, if for those of us that live in a modern culture like the United States or other countries where things are overly complicated, just to manage your day-to-day lives becomes, you have to be an expert in like 43,000 different things. Yeah, you know, I tried to file my taxes a month ago or so, and it's like, oh my God, that's an insane journey that I don't really want to go on. And consequently, you're spending all your time involved in these technical, very technical details. And I'm a technical guy. I used to work for Microsoft. I used to work for Adobe and other companies doing technical presentations all around the world. And, you know, I don't mind complications. I don't mind technical details as long as they're in service of a bigger vision. But when they're just, you know, a gnarly knot of, you know, difficult to unravel string that you need to get through in order to comply with some rule that actually itself doesn't make sense, then you wind up spending all of your time engaged in tasks that kind of matter, so to speak, artificially, and they take up all of your days. And we spend you can spend your entire life doing this. I could go on and on about this because it's so important. What I'm trying to say is that the things that we do in our world, the things that we do in our life, the things that the culture would have you do, the things that society would have you do, are kind of taking your eyes off the prize. They're kind of taking your focus off of the things that really matter. And that's the bait and switch sort of culture that we live in a little bit. And by that, what I mean is, if you've ever watched, you know, spent a little bit of time with an objective eye looking at a stream of television commercials or what people are trying to like pitch you, then you get the message pretty quick that the things that you have determine the quality of your life. And then if you have the right things, if you have the right car, if you have the right fashion, if you have the right medication, if you have the right food, then life is great. You know, it's all of a sudden you're, you know, driving in the hotshot car and you look great and you're with a good looking companion and you're on the way to someplace cool. And, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I can live that life. And so we project ourselves into those scenes and go, oh, that looks better than grass is greener sort of thing than the world that I'm in. So I'm going to go try to have those objects, go try to have those things. As a result of that, you wind up with a whole culture that's organized around messaging, around achievement, around if you just work hard enough, you can have these things. If you were to only do more, if you were to only be more, there's this whole orientation around what you do, what you produce is the determinant of the quality of your life. And also, there's a big overlay, particularly in this culture, of shame around if you're not a producer, if you're not a worker. Even now, there's legislation pending that unless you are, if you're an able-bodied person and you're not working, well, then there's something wrong with you, and you need to. And we're not going to help you regardless of your circumstances in some ways, because there's a lot of complexity in trying to figure out why someone who is capable of doing work isn't. And also there's a value judgment there that you ought to be working if you can be working. And I'm not saying that there's not an argument to be made there, but I'm saying if someone is walking down the street and making every person that they encounter feel good about their life, doesn't that count as value added to the culture? It's not profit, tangible money in the bank for someone else that can be taxed or turned into a paycheck. But isn't that really the value that we need these days? Isn't that really kind of the much more valuable than creating a screw or, serving a hamburger, the ability to cause people to feel really good about themselves for a while. And then therefore, instead of being angry with a child or angry with a worker, they are now feeling a little bit better. And so it instead of frustration and anger being passed around from person to person, heartfelt connection and goodness is being passed around from person to person. Why don't we live in a world where that is so? Why don't we live in a world where people are kinder? Why don't we live in a world where people have your back, where people support you, people you don't know support you? And I don't necessarily mean financially, but at least emotionally. And so rather than, oh, I don't like the way you looked at me, so I'm going to shoot you, or I'm going to, yell at you. And we have so much anger and division because that's what people focus on. And there's good reason for people's attention being drawn in those ways, because they're listening to messages that reinforce those things. So a lot of what I want to talk about today is realigning with the opportunity to connect and the notion that where we're at these days in a culture is actually taking us into more and more and more isolation, because we're not being taught, encouraged, supported in being able to connect with the stuff that really matters, with each other in a heartfelt, legitimate way. That's really the core conundrum. And consequently, it's up to you and me, those of us who care about the world in a way where we want to make it a better place and we want to make ourselves more engaged and meaningful. I mean, truly meaningful, not material ways. Lives of engagement and connection. How can you go about doing that? And what is the impact of not doing that? And bringing me to the main theme of this particular show is that if you don't really connect with the things that matter to you, that actually nourish you in in deep ways. And by that, I'm going to use a psychological term like ego, like, hey, look at me. I'm driving the hot new car and I've got the great bling and I've got all the stuff that I've got all the stuff that's supposed to make my life look great. And can't you see all my stuff? And therefore I'm all that, rather than who am I? I'm a connected person that cares about other people. I'm connected to creating meaning and value in my life that's sustainable, that matters, and isn't related to objects. Because if it's just related to objects, all those objects are going to go away unless you have, it's not really substantial. Because if those objects were to go away, then you'd be unhappy and you wouldn't be all that. Then you've basically given your power away. You've given away your self-esteem. You've given away your capacity to be someone of substance that carries their own center with them, that can move through the world in a place where you are coming from a place of connected engagement that isn't determined by your circumstances. So, you might have all the stuff in the world and you have something happen to you that can go away. All those things can go away. Then what happens to your self-esteem? What happens to your connection? What happens to your sense of self-worth? It goes away because you've invested it in things that are outside of you. So all the work is inside. All the work goes there. Then you can connect to people, to locations, to nature, to relationships, and to conversations, which are manifestations of those relationships, in ways that can really, really be a sustaining source of nourishment and connection and inspiration for you and others. This is a practice, not just an idea. This is something you can actually do. To do that, you have to start with who you are. You have to be able to be connected internally. If you want to be able to see other people and connect with other people and nature in your life in a meaningful way, you have to start inside. That's the key work. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about a report that the Surgeon General came out about an epidemic of loneliness. And so what's that about? Like, what? How is it that we're becoming more lonely in this culture? And how is it that focusing on connection can help us to be able to feel connected to our world, even though the culture is kind of pushing away real meaning and connection? How can we then swim upstream in a way where we're happy, satisfied, and able to continually align ourselves with resourcefulness that lets us engage the world in ways that are deeply, deeply satisfying? That is the opposite of loneliness. And we're going to be talking about that when we come back for our next segment. So stay tuned for the report on the Surgeon General about loneliness.
You're driven. And it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Tune in to The Unlimited Mindset, how to have more success, time, freedom, and peace of mind every first and third Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Your host, Camilla Kahlberg, helps you create a great life in an easier way. Learn the why, what, and how of conscious awareness. Shift what no longer serves you. Camilla knows firsthand what results you can achieve when you commit yourself. To learn more, visit KahlbergCoaching.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martine and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martineemmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martine.
What does it feel like to be tangled up in knots? Find out how to get untangled on the hit show Untangled and Free with Joan on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We all have knots and tangles, not tangled.
What are you connected to? Or what are you disconnected from? Tune into The Connected Conversation with Brett Hill on TTRLive.com and learn how to avoid unnecessary suffering and activate your mind-body connection. Step into a life that works for you. Flourish and express our natural creativity and exuberance as you learn how to look deep within and find your natural allies and connect authentically with yourself, others, and the world. To learn more, visit theconnectedconversation.com.
Welcome back to The Connected Conversation. I'm your host, Brett Hill. And in this episode, we're talking about loneliness and actually, I think, the epidemic of loneliness. Wow, that's just such a big deal. And if you think about it, it's, you can kind of go into a pretty dark place and you have to check yourself in a way to really think about this in a sense kind of objectively. And so to invite people into this conversation, it's important to be mindful of your own experience during a talk on this kind of a topic. And so, you know, take a second and just check in with yourself and see how you're doing right now. And this is something I do all the time, and particularly in my trainings and coaching, and just ask people to just take a moment and tune your attention inwardly and take a breath and just ask yourself really gently and non-judgmentally as best you can, like, what's it like right now to be you? What's it like right now? Not in the world, not overall, but right now. You know, what are you feeling? And maybe you're driving or exercising or whatever's going on. Oftentimes people are listening to podcasts, doing a bunch of other things, and that's all right. Just notice what it's like to be doing those things while you're listening. And taking a breath and noticing what it feels like in you. Is it just a flow of activity? Are you worried? Do you have stress or pain? And many people do. And that's okay. We're not judging it. We're just being present with it. And by that, I mean not amplify it, but just noticing what is. This is just a fact. That's what's true. And by doing that, this is an actual mindfulness practice where you're noticing what's true, what's in the moment, and you're just saying, yeah, that's a thing. It's actually true. Like right now I'm feeling the pressure of my feet on the floor because I'm at a standing desk. I feel it. It's just a fact. If I had a pain in my knee, I'd say, oh yeah, I feel that. That's just a fact. It's not, you try to avoid, oh, I'm going to meaning. Oh, well, that means I need to get out and exercise, or I need to not exercise, or I need to put it, or what is that all about? I wonder what this itch is about. I wonder if, I wonder if you just notice that and go, oh, okay, I'm not going to be curious about it right now. It's not that you don't want to be, but not right now. Instead, you just want to go, yeah, that's what's going on. And then just noticing all that. And now I want to come back to this conversation. The Surgeon General released a report called The Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. Wow, our epidemic of loneliness and isolation. This is 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General's advisory on the healing effects of social connection and community. Woohoo, that's right where I live, right? The healing effects of connection. So I thought, yay, I've got to talk about this. Because there is a tremendous healing effect for connection. And that's, you know, that's my, you know, that's my ride, right? So it's like working on connection, helping people learn to connect. And, you know, this, the report is about the impact of disconnection. And so there's a lot of statistics in here about what is social connection. And it's an objective paper, right? It's not about, oh, you're going to feel so much better if this happens. It's really about, what does it mean to live in a culture where people are becoming, well, he actually doesn't even go into what it means. He goes into the health effects, a lot of the disconnection. And so, for example, there's data. One, and here's a quote from the paper. And you can look this up if you just Google our epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And you'll find the paper by Health and Human Services. Here's a key data point. It says lacking social connection can increase the risk for premature death. Well, that's serious. Premature death as much as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Wait, what? Okay. So not having social connection is, according to the Surgeon General, is a significant impact on your health, on your, so much so that you might as well be smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It's like, oh my God. So now that doesn't mean if you get socially connected, you can start smoking and it's an zero sum game. But it does mean that this matters to you in a very physical way. It's not just an emotional problem. It's not just a societal problem. It's a physical problem. We are social beings. We are wired to be in engagement with other people. Excuse me. And so consequently, we have to be engaged with other people in a way that feels like we are connected. We're social beings. People might go, oh, well, I do everything by myself and nobody ever did anything for me, which is a common refrain you hear, like, oh, I don't need to be a part of the tribe. You know, it's like I'm responsible for everything. I do it all on my own. I get a big kick out of that because I would invite someone, I would have that discussion with anyone and point out that we are deeply, deeply, deeply interconnected. Even if you think you do everything on your own, and I don't want to diminish the fact that people are often very self-reliant and very much responsible in some ways for their own well-being, but there's many ways that you just simply take for granted that your well-being depends on, that you're not giving credit for. So, for example, you open up the tap out of your water in your kitchen and out comes water you can drink. Now, you didn't create that opportunity and you didn't purify the water and you didn't lay the plumbing. You pay a utility bill that helps support that, but it certainly in and of itself can't do it all. So you didn't, you know, unless you went out and you drilled your own well with your own tools and by your own hand. And then even then you're using tools that probably other people created, and you have the capacity to buy machinery that other people built. And the reason they can build those things is because there's a metric system. There's a system of measurements where there's a foot, and a foot is the same for me, is the same for you. Someone else decided what that is. And there's a pound and a weight that we all agree upon. So we have social customs and norms and rules, if you will, that apply. Another one is just since we're talking about a mechanical level of things, in the United States, you plug an electronic device into the wall, you know what kind of current's going to come out of it. That's because it's been standardized. And I didn't have anything to do with that standardizing. I benefit from it tremendously. The fact that you're listening to me right now is because that has been standardized. If that was not, we'd be in a very, very different situation where every single household supplier in the world could build a house and have a different voltage coming out of the sockets than the house next door. And that would be crazy making, right? And if you don't think that's so, then consider Have you ever tried to find the right USB port for devices? Like, oh my God, there's a lot now. The USB ports have been standardized too, but they keep evolving over time. Much smaller problem. But trying to find the right, you know, if something like that was left up to a decision maker of so local that each person could make a decision and such a global impact, we would be dysfunctional. And so consequently, there is a great deal that we are dependent on with each other. We rely on the goodwill and the capabilities of a system to support our liveliness, our aliveness, our capacity to engage with each other. And we rely on those in ways that we just kind of like the water we swim in and we don't really notice. There's another one. Now, those are just the physical layers of things. So let's take banking. You put your money in the bank. Do you worry that the money is going to be there in the morning? No. So there's so many things that we simply rely on to get you through your days, to get us through our lives. And because we rely on those systems, we are not self-reliant. You don't depend. You didn't create all your opportunity yourself. I don't care who you are. That's not the case. Because this even goes deeper than that. As human beings, we are the most dependent mammal on the planet in terms of how vulnerable children are. From the moment you're born till you're like 8, 6, 7, 8, you have to have someone looking out for you or you will not survive. And that's different than a lot of mammals, you know, that's different than a lot of animals. And so consequently, every single human being on the planet listening to this show or otherwise has been through a life experience where other people took care of you entirely from the moment you were born until you were able to feed yourself. Somebody else took responsibility for that, for better or for worse. I mean, maybe they didn't do it very well, but somehow you got to hear. And I'm not saying that that was a great experience for, because a lot of people, it's not. Some people, it's a pretty poor setup for the rest of their lives. But for other people, it's just a matter of the normal growth cycle where you're born, you learn some things, and you learn to be more self-reliant over time. But once people become more self-reliant, they forget that there was a time where you were 100% not self-reliant. And so everybody on the planet has had to have other people take care of them. And every single day, we rely on other people taking. We are social beings. We rely and need other people around us to be able to do the things that we need to do. Embracing and owning that fact is a big, big step to feeling more connected to the world, because you're not just an isolated individual. We're part of a process, for better or for worse in some ways. But this goes even deeper, which is where we're going to go in the next segment we're going to talk about. Connecting to the deeper underlying meaning to all of this stuff, so that whenever you're walking through your day, whenever you're moving through your life, first of all, we need to get some movement. We'll talk about that as well, just kind of stagnation that can happen, which is a big part of loneliness. And then the connection part, which is, of course, what this is all about. So this is the connected conversation, and we're going to talk exactly about that in our next segment. Thank you.
What are you connected to? Or what are you disconnected from? Tune into the Connected Conversation with Brett Hill on TTRLive.com and learn how to avoid unnecessary suffering and activate your mind-body connection. Step into a life that works for you. Flourish and express our natural creativity and exuberance as you learn how to look deep within and find your natural allies and connect authentically with yourself, others, and the world. To learn more, visit theconnectedconversation.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio,
exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion with me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Do you feel stuck in a system that seems broken? Are you longing to have meaning in your life? Tune in to Banking on Burlesque, the propelling point of change with me, Lana Montrese, every fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Do you feel stuck in a system that seems broken? Are you longing to have meaning in your life? Tune in to Banking on Burlesque, the propelling point of change with...
Welcome back to The Connected Conversation. My name is Brett Hill. I'm a mindful somatic coach, coach trainer, and founder of the Mindful Coach Association. I want to take a second to just do a shout out for the Mindful Coach Association. If you are a coach or a healer or a facilitator or somebody who values mindfulness in your work, that, you know, where you are in a counseling or advising role, you might want to join the Mindful Coach Association. It's completely free. And we meet a couple of times a week. And you can just go to mindfulcoachassociation.com. You can also just Google it, create a profile there, and you'll be invited to meetings. And I lead the meetings, and we have a great, fabulous group of folk who show up there. Also, you can go to theconnectedconversation.com. I'm starting to have a monthly meetup for the people who listen to the show so we can come and talk about connected conversations. So if you're interested in meeting people, because this is about connection, so I felt like, well, gee, it's not good enough just to kind of, wouldn't it be great if a show about connected conversation actually gave people who were listening to it a chance to talk to each other? Yeah. So I go to theconnectedconversation.com, and there's a form there you can add your name to or your email address, and you'll be enrolled in a Zoom meeting that meets, I think it's like once the fourth Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. PST. And so come on along, and we'll meet each other and chat. I would love to meet you. And I don't think a lot of podcasts do that. So I'm trying to experiment here to see if this works. And it would be great to hear your voice and hear what you'd like to hear on the show and what matters to you. So check that out at theconnectedconversation.com. We were talking about loneliness. We were talking about connection and the power of it, and why we need loneliness, that we are all connected in physical, tangible ways that we often take for granted because we just don't think about the ways that we rely on other people in the systems that we rely on every day to get us through our days. You know, like I mentioned before, your electricity simply works, the water works, we have roads we can drive on, and cars and machines that do a lot of work for us, and the internet, all these things which we don't create, but we take advantage of. And these are ways that we're all interconnected. By taking advantage of these systems, we live in a world where we're deeply reliant on each other. when you really get a handle on how connected in a way we really are, then that sets a foundation for feeling like everyone you meet in some way is actually connected to us, even if in incidental ways, right? We're walking around the same neighborhood. We're having the same sort of experience of being in a store but you can go really deeply if you really want to go there. And I go there. I'm going to take a leap here and tell you about an exercise that I actually do. I call it an exercise, but it's actually just something that happens to me. And I want to share it with you because it is a big experience. And I'm not suggesting that it's a big experience that helps me feel connected to people and to the world. And I'm not suggesting this is something that, you know, you have to have, but I am saying that this is the kind of thing that's possible. Sometimes when I go into a store, I'll have this moment when I stop and I'm kind of in a place in like an aisle. You know, some of the aisles in the stores are like intersections and you can see like all the way down a row or all the cashiers, or you can see a lot of people. And I'll stop and I'll find myself noticing every single person. And I'll just take a look. And I'll look, I don't mean just glancing, but I mean look at each person, not in a creepy sort of way, but sort of like, oh, who is this person? Like, what's this person about? And I begin to feel the depth of all of these souls, if you will, that every single person I'm looking at has a story. Every single person I'm looking at has desires, has problems, has things that they're excited about, has a history, has come from someplace, has lived in certain places, has a family, has had certain kinds of experiences in their world. They know things that I don't know. And then also, you know, maybe we have shared common. Maybe they sing like I used to sing. Maybe we have great amounts of things in common as well. But if you look at everybody from that point of view, you begin to see a depth in folk, even though you're not talking to them, that we all go really deep. Now, to do that, you have to be able to connect to yourself in kind of a deep way. And so, you know, tuning into yourself and letting yourself be connected to your own depth, to your own richness, to your own history, to your own knowledge. And even if that knowledge is a painful one, you know something. You know something about what it's like to survive a painful life. And you did because you're here. You're listening to these words. So whatever it is that you've come through, you're here. You're now. You made it through to now. And so the question then becomes, okay, I've learned some things, you know. I've been through some experience, good and bad. And so remember, part of being mindful is acceptance of the good and the bad, right? So it's, oh yeah, I had a really rough time. And I could talk about some of my times. I was beat up when I grew up. I grew up in a very hostile environment, and it was hard. And I, you know, I quote, grew out of it, but I learned to, you know, I took martial arts because I had to protect myself. And I learned something about the world being an unsafe place. It was not, I had to be very hypervigilant about, you know, when I turn a corner at school, who's there and what kind of mood are they in? And it mattered. It made a difference. I was bullied badly. And then that, you know, becomes a part of my orientation to the world. Well, I had to go through a bunch of changes to figure out who am I in relationship to this. But one thing was really clear to me was that I'm not a bully, you know? And also I'm not a victim. I mean, I kind of truly was a victim, but I mean, I didn't take on a real defeatist attitude about it. Although I did go into a really serious depression, but I, you know, eventually swam my way out of it. But now those are journeys that I've taken that I've learned from. And I can speak about that journey now. And I'm telling you now that connection is a lifeline to pull yourself out of these sinkholes in life. And the number one way to get connected is to first realize that we all are interdependent, to connect to the depth of what's in yourself, both good and bad. And there's a lot of good. And then let yourself have the goodness. Lots of times we are so connected to the pain that we don't let ourselves have the beauty. When I was doing my training in Hakomi somatic psychotherapy, there's a type called the self-reliant type. And it's sort of like one of the characteristics is a metaphor for it is like a beggar who won't eat at the banquet because the food won't be there in the morning. Right. It's kind of like, I can't see the beauty of what's right before me because that beauty will go away. And so I don't want to become dependent on it. I don't want to rely on it, be too painful. And there's some truth in that. It will go away. But you need, because everything in the world is transient. I mean, on a really big cosmic scale, everything goes away. As Eckhart Tolle has a CD out, even the sun will die, right? It's like, oh my God. I mean, in a big way, everything will go away. So given that that's true, what's left for us is just this moment. Always, always just this moment. And so consequently, the solution, if you will, to what, how to be connected to our lives in a bigger way is to connect to this moment, this one right now that you're having. And if you're listening to these words, that's a part of your moment. And so notice what's going on for you. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel? Because this moment is the one that you have, and it's the only one you have ever. There's no going into talking about being and timelessness. Now we're switching into a state of connection to a more sustainable, more nourishing place within us from which being itself flows. And whenever you are moving in that direction, it always feels more expansive and more relaxed and more, well, I say always, almost always feels more expansive and more relaxed. And for some people, you know, you start to turn in that way and all this stuff comes up, and God bless you. That just means that there's some work to do. You need to be able to eat at the banquet, right? And you can start with very simple things. And we'll talk about those when we come back in the next segment of The Connected Conversation. Thank you.
What are you connected to? Or what are you disconnected from? Tune into The Connected Conversation with Brett Hill on TTRLive.com and learn how to avoid unnecessary suffering and activate your mind-body connection. Step into a life that works for you. Flourish and express our natural creativity and exuberance as you learn how to look deep within and find your natural allies and connect authentically with yourself, others, and the world. To learn more, visit TheConnectedConversation.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big.
Do you feel stuck in a system that seems broken? Are you longing to have meaning in your life? Tune in to Banking on Burlesque, the propelling point of change with me, Lana Montrese, every fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Navigate into a world of sparkle, wonder, and a lifetime of magical change as you discover a way to heal that you never thought possible. For more information, visit LanaMontrese.com. That's LanaMontrese.com. Do you feel stuck in a system that seems broken? Are you longing to have meaning in your life? Tune in to Banking on Burlesque, the propelling point of change with me, Lana Montrese, every fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Navigate into a world of sparkle. Do you feel stuck in a system that seems broken? Are you longing to have meaning?
Welcome back to the Connected Conversation. And we've been talking about loneliness and connection, as well as how to take on some practices in your life that help you swim upstream from the many social forces in our world that move us into a state of being more and more isolated, more and more disconnection. I've been reading a little bit from a report from the Surgeon General, Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. And here's one statement from it in chapter one. The existing evidence illustrates that we have reason to be concerned about the impact of some kinds of technology use on our relationships, our degree of social connection, and our health. And so what they're saying here is that there is some evidence, and this isn't conclusive, but there's some evidence that social media or the number of hours you spend on social media is correlated to the degree of isolation that people feel. In a U.S.-based study, participants who reported using social media for more than 2 hours a day had about double the odds of reporting increased perceptions of social isolation compared to those who use social media for less than 30 minutes a day. So those who use 2 hours or more of social media reported approximately twice as much that they felt more disconnected than those who used it less. Now, I want to just put down a stakeholder here. I am not against social media. I am not anti-technology. I'm the opposite. I love technology. I'm a technical guy. I can talk to you about operating systems, the registry, TCP, IP, cloud services, encryption. I have a lot of technical background because I used to do that work for technical companies. However, the mechanisms that we have for engagement in our world these days take us away from engagement face-to-face or person-to-person more than ever before in our history. We simply didn't have these kinds of capabilities to, text message people or to put up a post or to share, an Instagram picture of something and then have somebody reply back an hour later. That's in the technical world, that's what they call asynchronous messaging, where I send out a message and 2 hours later somebody sends something back. Nothing wrong with that, but it's not real time, it's not face to face. And it's kind of nice, but it is communication technically, but how much connection is there? Well, if that's the world you grew up in, that's what connection means to you. Let's just say tomorrow, for the sake of an experiment, we erased all that technology. What would have to happen? People would have to actually talk to each other. People would have to actually be in the room with other people. And that obviously would dramatically cause people to be more interactive in real time. So And that, you know, clearly is going to, some of those interactions are going to be great and some of them are not going to be great. That's just the way the world works, but there's going to be more of them. And so consequently, the notion of being disconnected has more opportunities to be interrupted because you have more opportunities for connection. So the question here is not so much is social media bad, but what is its impact, right? And so we're going to go back to the conversation about being present with what is the impact of these things. Remember, before we were talking about being present in a way where you can actually let yourself feel the goodness. One of the things you have to do, I want to say this before the show is over today, loneliness can start to feel like it's an anchor and starts to be accompanied with depression. And it's a disempowering experience, right? I'm not connected and there are no resources out there. There are no handles to get a hold of. And when if you get in a place where you really accept the truth that you think that that's really what's happening for you, then you can wind up in a place where you feel like there's no point in engagement. And that's the opposite of what you have to do. You have to actually engage. So I want to talk about the power of engagement and the importance of it, particularly in a situation where you feel lonely or isolated. And even though you may be isolated, it's important to still kick up a notch on the engagement level as much as you can. This is hard. This feels really, really hard because you don't know where you're going to find the resources in you. And so I'm going to try to say a few things, a few ways where you can potentially connect to things that might be resourceful for you. Once you connect to those resources, that can help activate in you an aliveness that wants to grow and wants to connect. One of them is sort of what, along the lines of what I mentioned before. You're standing in a supermarket or a store or wherever you happen to be, and you notice people going by, and you start to feel, and you let yourself explore the idea of this person has a deep, deep history. We all go deep. You start to feel this connection. Another way you can start to feel a connection is through not so much with people, but in any kind of thing that you like. That this is what I call what lights you up. What lights you up? I have an episode on that. So go back and listen to that whole podcast, What Lights You Up. Finding that thing, whether it be a sunset, a poem, whether it be art, whether it be music. Let yourself have that experience in a deep way where you just give it, you just let yourself steep in the goodness of that experience. And it's not conditional on anyone or anything. And that can wind up opening neurological pathways in you to connection to a more profound sense of source of nourishment for your soul, so to speak. And when you land in that and you start to let that work on you, you will begin to notice things in the world that you feel good about. And then, so here's another key thing to help support engagement. When you notice something that you like in someone else, say something about it. I like your smile. I like the way you dress. I like that laugh. Oh, you have a great laugh. I love the way that you use, that you're so funny. It's just really, or whatever it is. When you know, and I'm talking about authentic, and you're not trying to manipulate anybody here. You're just saying an appreciation. Speaking an appreciation out loud is so important. That's antidote in many ways to so much of the caustic communication that we see in the world is for people to be kind unexpectedly to each other. And it doesn't have to come out of your wallet. It can be out of your heart. You can simply say, oh, that was really great. I really like the way you look in that color. You know, you have such a great laugh. It doesn't have to be deep or profound. It just needs to be true and authentic. And in this way, when we can express our enjoyment of other people, you're going to find that that's going to open them up. They're going to go, oh, thank you. Let yourself in those moments feel the connection that gets created because you took a chance to say what was true for you. Say something good about somebody. Just help somebody. And then it's going to be helpful. That's actually going to be helpful to people. Imagine if someone, three times a day, someone unexpectedly says something really nice to you. How hard would that be to have a world where that is true? Well, what if we just said, here's a new cultural norm. Every day, say three nice things to somebody you don't know. I mean, say something nice to three people you don't know. What if that was the norm? Wouldn't that, don't you think that would make a difference? I think that would make a really big difference. So that's my challenge to you, listeners, is to say something authentic to people that you don't know, or maybe even when you do, people you do know, unexpected and unsolicited, that when it arises in you, that you see something that you like. I really like the way you smile. It's so great talking to you. It's so fun just to engage with you. Whatever it is, and you're not wanting anything, you're just speaking something positive to somebody in the world. And in that way, we stitch together a culture of support and engagement with each other, where people, instead of becoming untrusted others, we become people that like each other. Now, obviously, you have to, choose wisely. But if you make it a practice, you'd be surprised how effective that can be. So check it out. I'd love to hear about the experiment, see how it works. Go to theconnectedconversation.com, sign up for our monthly meeting, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. And then also, if you're a coach, check out the Mindful Coach Association and create a profile there, because you'll be hearing from all the good things that we do there. We meet there every week as well. So there's a lot of community building, a lot of connection going on. And I'd love to invite you into the group so that we can actually have connected conversations. And that's what it's all about. So blessings to you. Once again, I'm Brett Hill, your host, and it's delightful. So take a moment and just be with yourself and let yourself be who you are and all the great good things that you've gone through, and whatever it is, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're excited about, just know that in your core, there's a lot of goodness there. There's a lot of aliveness down in there that wants to emerge in the world. And it is my wish that that emerge in beautiful, unexpected, and graceful ways. So blessings to you, and thank you. Till next time.
Thank you for joining us today on The Connected Conversation with Brett Hill on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in next time to experience the power of mindful communication to bring deeper meaning to your life, work, and the world. Brett is here to help you step into a life that works for you, to help you flourish and give voice to your natural creativity and purpose. See you here next time on The Connected Conversation to learn how to enjoy the experience of your moment-to-moment life. For more information, visit theconnectedconversation.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.